I think I feel like that guy on the If It Fits, It Ships commercial that's shipping the coffee stuff.
I'm stoked. I feel good.
Thank you, Joe. Good songs. If that don't make you feel good, there's something wrong. Those are good songs. Good songs. We've started a while back with faith, a conviction and trust. Then we added to our faith virtue, that pursuit of excellence. Then we added to our virtue knowledge, that knowledge of God's will and His commands for us. And then we added last week self-control, that mastering of our own personal desires as opposed to God's will for us. It's natural then that after we talk about self-control, we talk about perseverance because they go hand in hand, probably as well as any of these other characteristics put together. Self-control and perseverance are mainstays for each other. Without perseverance, self-control just doesn't last very long, does it? In the Greek, the word, you've heard me talk about the word, one of my favorite Greek words, hupomone. That's just a fun word to say. It's like that coffee guy, hupomone. It just makes you feel good to say. Everybody say, hupomone. Hupomone. It's the word for perseverance. It's the word for patience. You get the same idea, same attitude of it's joyful endurance. That's what the word means, perseverance. Not just because we have to, but because we willfully and joyfully do. That's the idea of this word, hupomone. I think it's one of my favorite words, and that's why, because it is a joyful endurance, willing endurance. I'm going to talk about hupomone, perseverance, tonight. In the passive sense, I'll give you an idea. If it's more of the active sense, the active tense. If you imagine a ship that's tied to the dock and anchored, there's storms and winds and waves that come and beat on the ship, but it's held secure by that anchor, by its ropes and ties. That's in the passive sense. Perseverance in the active sense is that same ship going somewhere against the waves and the winds. That's active. And maintaining its course regardless of what comes against it. That's that endurance and willingful, joyful endurance. And the idea of an active, willful, joyful endurance. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. We have a good idea of what this means in looking at the first two verses of Hebrews in the 12th chapter. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. This idea of willful, joyful endurance is a great example in looking at the Christ. In Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2, we're told, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us." That's that wind and waves beating against the boat. "And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." In other words, continue to keep on keeping on, willfully enduring, no matter what comes at us. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who did the same thing, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." You see, if Jesus didn't do that just because he had to, he did that because he willfully chose to. See the difference? He wasn't tied and anchored to that cross. He willfully went there, going that road regardless of what came at him. That's that hupomone. Now, there is a demand for us to have that same attitude of perseverance. Look in the next book at James. We're going to just bop back and forth between James and the Hebrew letter tonight to make this point about this perseverance and endurance. In James 1 and verse 4, James would write, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." The word perfect is simply the idea of being mature. In other words, let patience have its mature work, have its work in you to make you and help you to get to be to a mature state, right? So that you may be complete, lacking in nothing. So first of all, we're understanding that for mature growth, we have to have patience and perseverance. Secondly, in James chapter 5 and verse 11, He's talking about the prophets who, in verse 10, prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Verse 11, indeed we count them blessed who endure. You've heard of the patience of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Regardless of what comes at us, look at the prophets, look at Job, great examples. Jesus, again, example we talked about in Hebrews 12, of that purposeful endurance. That's this attitude of perseverance. Not to just because we have to. Not to, oh, I guess got to anyway. It's a willful, joyful endurance. It's necessary to endure trials. Then in Hebrews 10, back over to the Hebrew letter, in the Hebrew letter chapter 10, at verse 36, we find that we have need of perseverance for eternal life. Without perseverance, we can't get very easily to eternal life. For you have need of endurance, Paul would write, or the Hebrew writer would write, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. What's the promise? Promise of eternal life. It takes endurance, it takes perseverance for us to do the will of God while we're in this life, because it's not easy, right? Not always easy at all. All right, so that's the demand of perseverance for mature growth, for to enduring of trials and tribulations and those things, temptations, and for eternal life. Three-way necessity for endurance. Now, how do we develop it? First of all, it takes the right elements. What I mean by elements, those things that come together in our life that help us to reach out and get that perseverance for ourselves. First of all, the first element is the Word of God. Word of God help you to understand perseverance and what it is and how you're to obtain it? Yes, it does. In Romans the 15th chapter and verse 4, Romans 15, 4, for those things written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. The Scriptures help us to obtain, and we can obtain patience, perseverance from the Scriptures. Secondly, we need a right perspective. I'm sorry, a strong hope. The Word of God plus a strong hope. The hope that we have is only going to be obtained by patient, purposeful perseverance in doing things God's way. Third thing we need is tribulations themselves. Why do we need tribulations to gain perseverance? Because it helps us to grow to perseverance. It's like a bodybuilder, someone who's lifting a lot of weights, a lot of muscle training. The weights help the muscles to grow. Thereby, the muscles help you to lift more weight. One feeds off of the other. Without the muscles, you can't lift more weight. Without the weights, you can't lift more muscles because you're not building any more muscle. See it? So perseverance and temptations go together. Without the trials, you don't get very enduring. All right? Tribulations produce perseverance. Perseverance prepares us for tribulation. They work together. So we've got a Word of God, strong hope, tribulations themselves, and prayer. Those are all the elements. We don't need to go into prayer very much, because you know that we have this avenue to communicate with God through the Son by prayer. And what a wonderful avenue it is. It helps us to be persevering, knowing we can talk to the Father, knowing that we can explain to Him and tell Him our needs and our desires and our wants and how hard it is down here and this, that, and the other. We have an advocate, Christ, right there at the Father's right hand, say, yes, I've been down there. It is hard. So those things all work together to help us to persevere. All right, so that's the demand of it. That's how we grow it. The second thing we need is the right perspective. The perspective, Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 4, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We read it a minute ago. Who came and did what He's telling us that we need to do now to persevere. We need to look unto Jesus. Look to the prophets, back in James 5. The prophets that persevered, we count them great who endured those things. Let's go back to Hebrews 11. What did the prophets have to endure? Hebrews 11 at verse 32. When we think about these things, to make excuses not to persevere, not to be persevering, not to be patient in our perseverance, when we want to make excuses for that, we look at what happened to the prophets and what they endured. It kind of makes us a little wimpish to make excuses. Let's look at this. In verse 32 of Hebrews 11, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." Well, those are good things. But look down at verse 36. "Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and the chains of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy." That's a big statement. "Of whom the world was not worthy of those people who endured those things." Endurance and purposefully doing. Joyful endurance. Perseverance. That hupomone. So, for us to say, well, it's just hard and it's just been so tough, and kind of sounds wimpy, doesn't it, compared to those things. What would we do if it comes to the point ever in our lifetime where we have to endure that kind of persecution? That would you willfully be sawn into for the Lord? You think about it. It happened. It's a strong question. Looking to Jesus, looking to the prophets for our example and for our encouragement. Looking then, thirdly, to each other. Is it our responsibility to help each other, to encourage one another, to build up, to exhort one another? Sure it is. It's all over the New Testament. Jesus taught it, Paul taught it, Peter taught it, James teaches it. All the prophets taught it in the Old Testament. Looking at life with a positive attitude, to begin back in James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces hupomone." The testing of your patience. The testing of your faith. How often do you have your faith really tested? Well, somewhat on a daily basis. Sometimes we test each other's faith, don't we? We do. We might not mean to, but we do. You ever got upset with a brother or sister in the Lord? Probably. You ever talked about a brother or sister in the Lord? Tell me that's not testing your faith. My faith teaches me not to do that. When I do it, it's testing of my faith. Hupomone, perseverance, tells me that I don't need to do that. I don't need to be about talking about one of my brothers and sisters. I don't need to be about getting upset with one of my brothers or sisters because they said or did something. It has no place in a Christian world. No place in a Christian life. So all those things come together in the perspective, looking to Jesus, looking to the prophets, looking to each other, looking at life with a positive attitude. Trials are for my encouragement. Trials are for my enrichment. Trials are for my learning. Even temptations are for those things. And they mold me, or help to mold me, into what God wants me to be. Without those opportunities to learn and grow, there's no progress. Without those things that come at us from left field sometimes, there's no development of perseverance. There's no development of endurance. If a track runner never ran and practiced, how fast could he get? Not much. Not any faster than he ever was, because he's not gaining and not building, not growing. All those things. And then look into the future. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to get out of Hebrews for a minute and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. At verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. Paul said, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Do we realize how strong a statement that is that the Apostle Paul made, knowing what he went through in his ministry on this planet? Our light affliction. Paul was thrown, he was stoned, he was cast off a ship, he spent in the deep, he was castigated, he was persecuted by his own countrymen. All those things he calls here a light affliction. For us, a light affliction is mosquitoes or something trivial that really doesn't make any difference. A light affliction is, I don't have enough money to go get what I want to get at the store. That's our light affliction. If we had to endure what Paul had to endure, I don't know if we'd term it a light affliction or not, but he says it is. Those things, he says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Only if we persevere like Paul persevered, and the prophets, and Jesus. And we encourage one another to do the same thing. Now, how is all this demonstrated? We've done the same thing with all these qualities of the Christian life so far. We've talked about the demand for it, how to obtain it. Well, then how does it show? Well, some of these things ought to be obvious, but let's take a look at a couple of them. It's required. This perseverance is required in our dealing with trials. Trials come at us. There's times when remaining active for the Lord is difficult. If we're, all right, let's just use Brother William Barker as an example. He's been in the hospital. He's been out of it. Now, for him, remaining active for the Lord has been very, very almost impossibly difficult because he hasn't come to himself until yesterday about 5:30. Now, he's laid up in bed. He's in a hospital room. Can he, at this point in his life, be active for the Lord? And the answer to that is yes. He can pick up a telephone. He can write a letter. He can talk to those who come, the nurses and the doctors who come in. He can work for the Lord with everybody in his surrounding little area there, even on the telephone. Now, that might seem like something. Well, you're in the hospital, you're sick. You mean you expect people to call somebody on the phone when they're sick? I'm not sure I expect that. I said, can he do it? If he's so aligned to, he can do it right there where he is. Now, that example says that if we're not in the hospital, if we're not encumbered by something, affliction of some sort, can we work for the Lord? Absolutely. Anywhere we are, any time of day, any time of night, we can all work for the Lord and continue to do that. It's required in trying circumstances that we continue. Keep the main thing, in other words. Perseverance is required when temptation hits. Anybody ever get tempted? Anybody ever get tempted? I was doing so good. Anybody ever tempted? We all are. Temptations come at us left and right every day. Perseverance keeps us from going to the temptation, giving in to the temptation, being a part of the temptation. Be a lot of fun to go do certain things that the world does. That's temptation. Old devil throws stuff at you that it's hard to resist. Perseverance says, I don't want to go there. I'm still not going to do that. Those things are not for me. I'm doing the Lord's work, you see. Perseverance involves the idea of bearing up under trials and pressure of all sorts and all kinds at all times. Willfully, cheerfully, enduring whatever this life throws at us, left and right, and doing it because we love the Lord. We appreciate what he's done for us, and we can never do enough to pay back and repay what he's given us. Never could. But we try, and we continue. We willfully continue to keep pressing on. Self-control. We talked about self-control last week, that controlling urges and keeping self in line. Without perseverance, doesn't last. Naturally to put, you know, when Peter put these things in line, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge self-control, to your self-control perseverance, there's a reason that they're in that order. I do believe that. Perseverance before self-control wouldn't make much sense, would it? Self-control, perseverance to follow. If you add perseverance to your self-control, we continually are more pleasing to God than we would be if it were the other way around. That's your lesson. We're living a Christian life in perseverance each and every day. It's not easy. It's difficult at times. It's difficult at best sometimes. But with the right perspective, with the right looking to Jesus and the prophets and Paul and the others, for example, and each other, for example, those that you've known in this life who have been good examples of perseverance, Christian stick-to-itiveness, hoopomene, it can be done. Why Keep Jesus Waiting is a song that's been chosen. It's the song of encouragement and invitation, 927. We'll be singing it in a moment. If there is a necessity for you to respond during the singing of this song, to make something known to your brothers and sisters in Christ, something you need help with, something you need altered in your life, then this is the time to do that. And you know, we say that every time. We always have an invitation song or a song that you can respond to. If something happens with you or in your life during the middle of the week, don't not respond. Call a brother or sister. Call the church building. Call yourself. Call someone. I need some help with this. I need some help. Don't let it go. That's just encouragement that you know you don't have to wait till Sunday evening or Sunday morning to respond. It can be done anytime. Jesus tenderly calls us each and every day. So if you have a need to respond at this time, though, do it now while we stand and sing.